This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk. Good afternoon. I'm Frida Liu. Last week, we took a brief turn down the cul-de-sac of happiness for our April Fool's Day special. Fortunately, culture pop smart Armitage is morose again this week as we talk about his favorite topic, death. We don't often think of technology when we think of death, but you would. So are you here to introduce us to robot embalmers?
Hi, Frida. Yes, robot embalmers is actually the first thing I searched Google for, because I know you had the embalmer on last week.
And he's on for this whole month.
Ah, really? Okay. It did actually turn up I didn't get anything on robot embalmers. We don't seem to have made any of those yet. But I did get a search result that I can't actually mention here. Mm. Interested listeners can check out my Facebook profile or my Twitter feed, which is at Culture Pop-Up. It's not safe for work. It's nothing kind of graphic. It's just really, really gross. So maybe wait until after your lunch if you're interested. It involves mummies and entrails, not two things that I usually put together. But yeah, back to today. I mean, when I was doing the research on our recent show on Cyber Shaman, I turned up a bunch of stuff on the afterlife. And again, like I said, after with the embalmer on as a career option segment, I thought, you know, let's go the whole hog and promote the dead.
So, I mean, just with the theme of things, I just have to say that today's Careers Unusual is going to be with the body restorer and makeup consultants. The theme and this, you know.
Yeah, right.
Well, when most of us face mortality, though, we probably don't prioritize our digital lives.
I have to admit, I hadn't really given it a second thought before I started looking into this for the show today. Although we generally don't have to deal with death on a daily basis, you know, thankfully, there is a group of people who do. The people who run all of our social media, our email and other online accounts, for them, having dead customers is literally a daily occurrence. I've read various estimates online, and I'm not sure where the truth lies, but Facebook, because it has a staggering 1.5 billion users, can apparently expect anywhere between 1 to 2 million of its customers to die in any given year, which is an amazing statistic. Yeah. I mean, just imagine the number of claims that Facebook has to deal with from loved ones and friends. You know, it's quite incredible. And again, even if we're not thinking about our mortality, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, all of these other services are. For example, Facebook allows you to name a custodian who can access your account after your death. Again, I didn't know that until I researched for today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just there in the security settings. There's a little line that says custodian, and it gives that person access to your account if you pass away. So I added my wife to that this week as a result of doing this show. Honestly, they don't do it, but I think it would be really cool if Snapchat offered a funeral service. So, you know, if you've passed away, your phone can just carry on taking Snapchats of your funeral. But, you know, maybe they'll do that. But the really interesting thing is that a lot of the startups in this area are actually trying to attract millennials, young people, to think about their impending doom.
Well, death doesn't seem like the most obvious venture capital hotspot.
Exactly. But the majority of startups that VCs fund do actually slowly die and asphyxiate into nothingness. So you could actually say that death is pretty much their core business. Mm. And the rare ones that do make it are often, you know, Frankenstein's monsters of companies anyway. Death is actually a pretty good and regular business. You know, you're pretty much assured of a client base, either from those who live with dark obsessions or those for whom, you know, the Reaper has unfortunately come. And it may be a lot less common now, but, you know, my grandparents all had death insurance, you know, a policy that would pay for their funeral so they wouldn't have the embarrassment of the family not being able to afford a good send-off. So death has always been good business, and there's no reason that shouldn't be able to extend onto the online world.
So how are the millennials being drawn in? Has there been a spike in death rates?
Apart from people falling off very tall things or playing with bears or lions while taking selfies, millennials are actually surprisingly resilient, given their aversion to exercise, sunlight and healthy food. Actually, that sounds pretty much like me. But some of these companies are taking a new direction. A Florida-based company called Everest put together a really well-produced and funny video to target this market, and we've got a little clip from that now.
Oh, you? We do? All
yes,
right.
We do.
We do? Okay. As we talk about it, let me find
yes,
it.
I mean, essentially, the company is a combination of online life insurance company and concierge service. So while the millennials aren't into life insurance, the idea of telling a concierge how they want their afterlife to be curated taps into the zeitgeist.
Let's have a listen.
Yeah.
Back when I was still alive, I didn't think much about my death. It wasn't my style. But I did want my family to be taken care of, and Everest was there to do that.
Thank you, Will.
No problemo.
Wherever you are.
They can't hear me.
There you go. Okay.
It's so, quite nice.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's almost lighthearted.
Yes, a lighthearted
there
look at death.
All right. So we can't get away from this. Is there an app for that?
Of course. I mean, there were a couple of high-profile launches towards the end of last year. I'll deal with a company called Cake first. They seem to have gone a bit dark. I think they were in public beta before, and a new version of the app has been promised for later this month. So I haven't been able to check it out personally. From the reviews I've read, it works like this. You answer a series of yes or no cards that say things like, I want my funeral to be a unique celebration of my life. It tries to take some of the pain out of the kind of conversations you have to have at the end of life, not just about funerals, but also about palliative care and do not resuscitate and all this kind of thing. Gosh, you know, we're really having fun. But anyway, when it launches, there will be a free version, and there'll also be another paid-for version that has a concierge service.
Any apps you've actually tried?
In the spirit of research, I signed up to a service called Safe Beyond. And to be honest, it's been a bit weird doing all of this. I'm not superstitious at all, but it's very strange to immerse yourself in death and your own death and stuff like this. Safe Beyond lets you leave messages for your loved ones, not just when you die, but to correspond with landmark moments in their life. So, you know, whether when your daughter or son graduates from college or, you know, getting their first prison sentence. You can leave video, audio, and written messages. You can attach photos or any kinds of files. They also have a repository where you can leave your logins and passwords so that your nominated trustees can access, you know, your Facebook and your Twitter and all your social media accounts, but also bank accounts and that kind of thing. You get a 1 gigabyte account free, but if you want more storage space, the premium plan costs around $100 a year. And here's where I kind of have a bit of a problem with it. I reckon I've got maybe another 35 years or so once I get, you know, the robotic organ replacements that I'm hoping will come out in the next 10 years or so. Is Safe Beyond going to be around for another 35 years? It would have to be around a lot longer than that for millennials, some of whom may well actually live into the next century.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to be shelling out $100 a year for the next 8 decades. So that sounds, I'm not sure about this as a business model.
All right. Okay. I guess that makes me one of the biggest problems, the turnover of startups and the long-term nature of planning your death.
Exactly. There's a great site called The Digital Beyond, which lists loads of these kind of death-related services. There's one, for example, called Cirrus Legacy. So that was founded in 2011. It was supposed to be a one-stop shop for passing your digital assets onto your loved ones. But of course, the site died before most of its customers. I think it lasted about two or three years. I do like a couple of the services that they've got listed. Chronicle of Life is a very straightforward, not-for-profit company that stores your digital media for a one-off fee, and it's been around for about 8 years. My favorite, though, has to be Dead Man's Switch. It's very simple. Should you die, it emails all your contacts a message informing them of your passing. And it takes its name from the dead man's handle, the brake that stops, you know, trains and machinery if something happens to the operator. So how it works is Dead Man's Switch emails you at regular intervals and you reply to the emails let it know that you're alive. Yes, exactly. So if you can't or you forget to reply them, then it informs the world that you're dead. I think this is fantastic. I mean, there's so much superb potential for getting it wrong.
Okay, I know we've been talking about online and app-based services, but death has also been making trips into the real world too, I believe.
Yeah, there are these incredible things called death cafes. At the moment, they're mostly just hosted days in regular cafes, but they're springing up all over the world. People can come and talk about death and loss. They have various specialists on hand to talk people through pain management, palliative care, and they'll put them in touch with, you know, related social and medical services. But it's also for people who are just interested in the culture of death to come and talk to other people who are interested in it. A Kickstarter campaign to launch a dedicated death cafe in London failed last year. They raised nearly 40,000 UK pounds, but they needed closer to $250,000. But they're still continuing with their efforts to have a permanent death cafe in London. But what's even more interesting is the Death Salon. It's kind of a TED Talks for death and mortality. And it takes place in interesting locations like the St. Bart's Pathology Museum in London, Philadelphia's Mutter Museum, which is another kind of medical curiosity museum. It wants to demystify death and covers everything from pathology to art. Mm. The last one even featured a bazaar so that you could buy all your favorite death-related trinkets. And they've got a film festival coming up in September. So you can check them out at deathsalon.org, and you can even apply to hold your own Death Salon events.
Right. A long time ago on the show, we mentioned the band Kiss was selling their own coffins. Can we still buy them?
The Kiss caskets. I think we mentioned it on a Halloween show ages and ages ago. So they were first issued in 2002, and because of demand, they brought them out again in 2011. But it seems that they were meant really as a limited edition, and there don't seem to be any new plans to issue a new edition. And at $4,000 US, they weren't exactly cheap either. But I do see maybe there's a gap in the market for Justin Bieber. Who wouldn't want a Justin Bieber casket?
Jeff Sandu wants one.
Yes. I'd quite like a Nick Cave coffin. That would be a proper Count Dracula job. Frida, any thoughts on your preferred coffin? Madness, Iron Maiden?
I'll have to think about that. Matt Armstrong, culturepop.com. He'll be back here in his usual cheery self together with Jess Andrew for Geek Squad. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.